And then I just want to say, I don't know if we're recording right now, but mom and dad, I'm really sorry. Number one. Number two is, and then number two is like, you raised this.
Yeah. So, it's all your fault.
It's all your fault.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're all the products of our parenting. So.
I reached a point where I stopped apologizing.
Yeah.
You're just yeah,
it's like, this is it.
Yeah. Nature is only responsible for so much. Nurture makes up a lot.
You see what I post on my Facebook, so.
And they both follow me.
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen the look she just gave me. Like,
well, yeah. You know, my dad and I have a contest to see who can gross each other out the most. And I always will say something about oral sex, and then he'll always say something about sex with my mom. So he wins, generally.
So you just have different, you two just have different thresholds on what grosses you out.
Yeah.
Because if he's able to just say like, oh yeah, no, your mom and I had missionary intercourse one time, resulting in you, and that's all. And you're like, I'm done. And he's like, no, tell me about all of the jobs. I'm not really worried about it. I get it. It's fine.
He doesn't want to hear about this either.
Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia, and each week we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me as always is Shannon Page. Shannon.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm a little rushed today. I'm not going to lie.
That's okay.
I made it though.
Neil Peart? Yeah, rushed.
That's a white man joke. That's such a white guy joke because I didn't get it either. Yeah,
it wasn't good. I mean, it's just a dad joke. I don't know if it's necessarily racially dadded.
I don't know a black person who knows any member of Rush.
I only know Neil Peart because he just died.
Yeah,
right?
Same.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's the drummer, and he died like a couple months ago.
I have a lot of white friends.
I guess I don't have enough.
Shannon, so other than being rushed, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Just got back from Vegas.
Yeah.
Nice.
Vegas, baby!
I did not lose as much as I planned on losing.
Great.
Which I consider a win.
How many times did you get married?
None this time.
None? Oh, wow.
The other three haven't been annulled yet. So.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah. Well, the Catholic Church is notoriously stodgy with their annulments, so you gotta wait it out. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Since you weren't here last week.
We did a little program
without you.
I look forward to listening to it.
Yeah, it'll be out soon. Yeah, and you can hear it with your ears.
As opposed to other parts of her body.
You have all heard our new theme song at the top of the show. That is by Michael J. O'Connor, a dear friend of mine. He lives in Santa Rosa, California. He's a phenomenal musician, and you should listen to him at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. You can find everything he's ever done, and it's good, guys. It's good. So we have two returning guests this week.
Hello.
They are fantastic people. I think. I think. I mean, I don't think that anybody would deny it. And if they did,
they'd be
wrong. But they should probably also be beaten severely.
Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's the sort of thing where it should just be like willy nilly dislike. There needs to be consequences for not getting it.
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Beaten.
So, returning to the show, we have Monica Morris. Monica.
Hi.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for returning. Yeah.
It's good to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing the world's finest chocolate.
Oh, yes.
To the party.
So, just so you guys know, since we're talking about the shitty pop songs today, I brought shitty chocolate. World's finest, which is a misnomer, but I have a shit ton of it because I'm a sucker and my nephew is selling them.
I am so sad I have food allergies.
So, I mean, there's
I don't know. The survivors
several
might
flavors. please take some.
Wait, they have more than one flavor
in it? Yeah, they have dark chocolate, they have almond, they have wafer, they have caramel.
Ooh,
the dark chocolate may not have any sugar, may not have any milk in it. You can check, but
I'm sure it does.
I don't know.
Weird. I didn't even know that there were more flavors than just the.
I mean, times have changed.
Yeah,
times have changed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We're in a whole new world now.
I know.
Chocolate
exactly.
can be anything it wants to be.
Just like
sometimes.
Girls. Yes.
Except we can't be president.
No, we cannot. We cannot be president. No.
But it's a pretty shitty job.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I know. I don't think I'd want it.
Yeah. It's not very rewarding.
No.
I think it just punishes your body and
People
your mind.
People are always mad at you.
Oh, yeah.
You look
Someone
old
is always mad at you.
You get a library out of it.
It's true. It's true. You will get a library.
You do. That nobody,
and everybody wants a library.
That nobody will ever visit. Unless it's Obama's library, which I hear is like this interactive, like,
of course it
you
is.
Know.
It's probably
place
the coolest
of, like,
library ever.
Social Justice Institute place. So, yeah. I mean, it's Obama.
Yeah.
I personally want to go to George W. Bush's.
Really?
There's just to see all his paintings?
There's not a book in there.
For all the coloring books.
Exactly.
And,
I did this.
Legos.
Yes.
Somebody circled all these word searches already. What's the point? But he's just circling, like, butts. Yeah. He's not circling the actual words.
He's looking for penis.
Yeah. This one has all the dirty words.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Also returning to the program is Lynn Teasley. Lynn,
oh, hi.
Hey, welcome hi. Back.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Thank you very much for coming back on. We're going to talk about some 80s and 90s pop music. This week.
You say that as if they're going to be good songs, though.
Well, sometimes they might be, and sometimes they might not be.
Listen.
It's really more of a cultural wave,
I think, is what
we're going to encompass here this evening.
You know that we don't take anything too literally. So.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Even if you said, like, let's just talk about actual shit. We'd be like, oh, well, you know,
I mean,
there's some pretty interesting biological process behind
like
that.
There'd be a question about Mr. Hankey.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Next time we come on.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Oh.
You know.
Yeah. He's so cute.
But he's a poop.
He wears no pants.
Yeah. Because he's got a poop. Yeah. He's been hanging out with those Charmin bears. He knows what happens. You wear pants. You got bad toilet paper. Yeah. You're a mess.
You're a mess.
Yeah. So nobody wants to be halfway stuck in a rabbit's burrow and have a bunch of stray pieces of white paper on you.
How long have you thought about this?
No, just right now.
This is where you're going with it, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused already. So you guys listen to the theme song at the beginning of the show. Do you have a guess on what the lyrics are? Monica, what did you think the lyrics of the song were?
It was something like on the radio, uh-huh. something on the radio.
Okay. Yeah. Great. All right.
I heard a vague idea, vague idea, something, a vague idea. Do you have a vague idea?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I know it is. Shannon, do you have any guesses on lyrics? I know that you've...
I forgot already. I was multitasking.
Great. That's...
I did hear a vague idea, though. I heard it last or 2 weeks ago also, and I did hear a vague idea.
The vague idea part is pretty evident. I did text with Mikey about this to make sure I knew what the lyrics were, and they are, you know, it's a vague idea, repeated twice,
uh-huh.
And then really funny game show.
Oh.
Don't you want to listen to the radio?
Oh!
So, yeah.
The radio
we were both right.
So very good.
That's
very good.
Happens.
So let's get started with the show. Which one of the two of you wants to go first? You can fight. We can spend 45 minutes where you argue. You can have a traditional debate team sort of thing. Or you can just pick.
Let's do a thumb war. No, it's just funny. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do
one,
it. Thumb
two,
war.
Three, four. I declare a thumb war.
Listeners, there is a lot of elbow
this is the
usage.
The thumb war is getting aggressive.
It looks like the microphones might get knocked down. In a second. Monica took
right.
it.
I got distracted.
See, that's why you can't get distracted. You can't get distracted. Monica's super competitive.
Focus. Yeah,
Monica. I think in fairness, like, I think Monica has a little bit of a reach advantage
she
to
does.
You too. There's
she
like
she has a reach and a height.
Yeah.
Listen, bitch.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's the thing. Like, it's hard to punch up, you know? That's it. Well, great. Monica, you're gonna start us off.
Yes.
And yeah, so we're just gonna start throwing categories at you.
Oh, sweet.
Okay?
I'm
going to start with my first one, which is, do you have a vague idea about the cardigans?
The cardigans!
Love
oh, my God.
Them.
I do love them. They were, I think they're an Irish band of siblings. I don't know where they're from.
I do. But I'm going to withhold that information.
Listen,
that's good. Yeah, you got to play the game.
They're an Irish band of siblings, and they were really big in like the mid '90s. I think they were. Yeah, they were kind of. And I remember they had this one video, like in an airplane or like at an airport. And I remember thinking that the girls had really dark hair and pretty eyes. And I was like, they don't seem very Irish to me. Right? They did.
Wait a minute. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the cardigans.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think she, that's what,
keep going.
We're
I'm going to win. Yes.
But I think they were siblings. And they were an Irish pop band that were big.
I like how you're looking at me for
fuck you. and they were big in the mid '90s.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Great. Okay. Okay.
Already,
Lynn.
If I am not mistaken,
what do you know about the
Cardigans? They were from Sweden.
That is correct. They're Swedish band.
Shit. Yeah. When
no
you
wonder
said
they
dark
didn't seem
hair.
Very.
Yeah. Well, they don't seem very Swedish either.
Well, when you, yeah, no, the lead singer has super blonde hair.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Who am I thinking about then?
Are you thinking about Sixpence, None the Richer?
You might
no, because that's a redhead.
I assumed you were thinking about the Cranberries. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but they were siblings, weren't they?
I don't know if the Cardigans were siblings, but I remember the song specifically because I was in a sorority, the one that the sorority from Legally Blonde is based on. True story. And that was like one of the songs that like one of my sorority sisters sang all
sing
the
it.
Time.
Sing it.
Oh, I'm not ready for my close-up yet.
Sing it.
I haven't warmed up.
Which one are you going to say?
Extra points for a cardigan song.
It's the love me, say that you love me. Fool me, go on and fool me. I don't care about anything but you. Nope, that's definitely the Cardigans.
It sure is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking about Sixpence None the Richer.
I just said that. Kiss Me is by Sixpence None
yes,
the Richer.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I
that
remember
was a good
that song.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there are two brothers who were in the Cranberries too.
Oh, well maybe.
Mike and Noel Hogan.
Yeah.
Oh.
You just
but,
mixed
yeah. So there was I mean, but this is the thing. It's a melange of musical
like
stylings.
Were they all on the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack? Because that's where I know the Cardigans from.
Sixpence None the Richer was in She's All That.
Yes.
Then. All right.
But the Cardigans did have a, yeah, they had a song on the Romeo. I had the whole
yeah,
Romeo.
The Love Fool.
Love Fool
yeah.
was
yeah.
the mm-hmm. song, yeah.
Yeah, because so. Literally in She's All That, when she's being like all that,
yeah,
that's
she,
when Kiss Me plays,
stairs,
right?
Oh, I
yeah.
love it.
I remember that.
I love
yeah.
that
so, yes, yeah. 90s rom-coms and pop music.
Yes,
no,
all
merged,
in one.
Merged in a,
yeah.
a perfect
delicate
marriage.
Chimera.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
It's yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, it's like together. Peanut butter mouse traps.
Yes.
You think you want one and the other happens.
Yeah. I'm not
ow.
Sure which one is which.
Yeah, well, you know, some days I don't know either.
So yeah, that's I've exhausted my knowledge of the Cardigans.
Okay. Yeah, the Cardigans are a Swedish rock band.
Yes.
They were formed in Jönköping, Sweden in 1992 by Peter Svensson, Magnus Svenningsson,
of course.
No relation. Close but no relation. Bengt Langerberg, Lars Olof Johansson, and lead singer Nina Persson. And yeah,
that's
they got
the only name that is normal.
Nina Persson?
Non-Swedish.
Non-Swedish.
But yeah, they've got that Love Fool song. They also have a
okay.
song called My Favorite Game, which
oh,
is still one of my
oh,
favorite
I
songs.
I love that song.
Cuz it's got like a fun like rock mm-hmm. guitar groove.
Extra
and
points for singing that song.
Me?
Anyone.
No, I don't
I'm
want
just
it.
Giving points out.
Something playing the game. Oh, I can
yeah.
hear the lyrics of course. It has this weird like baby sound in it.
Yeah. It's got a cool guitar riff. Anyway, let's not worry about extra points. Yeah. So yeah, that's the Cardigans.
I don't actually give out points for this.
Yeah. Shannon's just throwing. Yeah, so I might sing it
some other point.
Yeah.
Not the cardigan song, because I guess I'm thinking about somebody else.
Yeah.
So great job on the cardigans.
Thank you. Yes.
Monica, I'm going to give you 1 point.
Sweet.
And Lynn, I'm going to give you 3 points. All right. And I have a second one. Okay. And this question begins with you, Lynn.
For me.
You ready? Right. Mm-hmm. You ready for this?
I think so.
We're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Ooh, last time Fuck, Marry, Kill gave us the name of the
episode.
It's
true. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this could get real, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
This week for Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have some very 80s and 90s pop music options.
Ooh.
That are not actually people, but are kind of people. Okay?
Okay.
So you have an option between Bon Jovi's teased out 80s rocker hair, Britney's Baby One More Time pigtail braids, and Michael Jackson's Thriller Jerry Curl. Which one would you fuck? Which one would you marry? And which one would you kill?
Okay, this is pretty easy, actually. So fuck the braids, because it's like a handlebar on a motorcycle.
Oh, shit.
Kill the curl, because ew. And then, I mean, I guess I'm just left with marrying the hair.
You're going to marry Bon Jovi's teased out rocker hair?
But you know what? It's stable. It holds up. And I feel good about my decision.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know that Bon Jovi will go on to act in several episodes of Ally McBeal. So that hair is going to get some mileage.
Yeah.
It's going to be valid.
Mm, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You like how I'm assertive about that.
I mean, I'm a little concerned about how aggressively you went for the handlebar metaphor. But other than that,
and
I think
quickly.
We're cool.
And
yeah. Yeah.
Quickly.
It was just like, yeah, I'm just going to grab those braids.
She just wants to ride Britney's face.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Where do you think the hair is attached to, bitch?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go into a whole other thing, but I'll spare you all.
The important thing is we already apologized to Monica's parents at the beginning of the show.
Sorry, David and Patty.
Okay, Monica, what are you going to do with those options?
I'm going to kill Bon Jovi's teased hair. Because, like, I feel like you couldn't, like, you couldn't run your fingers through it. You kind of, like, would get stuck. And I feel like it's very tent towards vermin. Like, lice would be in there. Like, you
could. Good God.
I mean,
I
seriously.
I don't disagree, but.
and I don't know. I feel like in order to get your hair, like, that teased, you have to, like, use so much product. It just doesn't seem clean. It doesn't seem cleanly, that hair.
Yeah, no, I think there's a point where it's like there's so much Aquanet happening that you're kind of like, where does the just hardened alcohol stop and you begin?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really know who you are anymore.
Exactly. It's like dreadlocks on white people. So I would probably fuck Michael Jackson's Jerry Curl. I mean, it's built in lube.
Juicy.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
Gross.
Well, you.
I mean, it's built in. And you just, like, you can use anyway.
You're not going to have any friction because he is a smooth criminal.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
Nice. And I would probably marry Britney Spears's, you know, pigtails. I mean, they're cute. They're bouncy. I mean, they could, you know, they'll be a good companion for life.
They got those little poof things in them.
Yeah, they got those little pink poofy things.
Yeah. It's kind of woven in.
Yeah.
Shannon, what would you do in this situation?
Oh, I mean, I really like the handlebar reference, so I'm going to piggyback off of that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Great.
Also, out of those three people, I think Britney Spears is the sexiest.
Agreed. Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, I think Jon Bon Jovi had a moment here or there.
Jon Bon Jovi. He seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, he's down to earth.
So his hair.
You're not marrying Jon
Bon Jovi. I'm going to marry his hair. Marry his hair. Okay.
Assuming that it's like the joke
like
where the
really
guy has a duck attached to his head. And he's like, you know. Yeah.
That hair.
He does. And he cares about Philadelphia. He's big about Philadelphia.
Yeah. Isn't it New Jersey?
Oh, yeah. He's from New Jersey.
Well, I thought he owned, like, he partially owns, like, a Philadelphia, like, arena football team or something.
He does.
That's
he
where owns, I'm getting wrapped he, yeah, up. He might be from Jersey, but.
He is from Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know.
He does own a Philadelphia.
Everything's,
like,
everything's bridges over
team.
There.
But you know what? When he's in Philadelphia, he's halfway there.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. That's how the song got written. They were just stuck on the Ben Franklin Bridge, and they were like, we're halfway there. just praying that this traffic will break up. What else? Did you have anything else left? No. You're gonna kill. Yeah, great. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Kill the curl.
Yeah. What would you do?
Oh, what would I do? Oh, geez. You know, I gotta say, I'm probably gonna go ahead and marry the Thriller Jerry curl because for the money. I mean, there's the money. There's all that money attached to that hair.
There is a lot.
Like that is peak Michael Jackson hair.
True. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Not necessarily. Well, not peak Michael Jackson hair, but it's peak Michael Jackson hair.
Yeah.
So
That's true.
I'm marrying for the money, and then fuck baby one more time, pigtails, because everybody seems on board with that, and then Bon Jovi. I guess I'd kill just because I don't know.
Yeah, because you can.
Rock some faces. Not gonna rock yours. Get out.
Definitely.
Okay. I'm gonna give Lynn 3 points. I'm gonna give Monica 5 points.
What? Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. I'm gonna ask a question now.
Do it. It's your turn.
I did some research for this a couple weeks ago and I got really excited about it, so I decided to bring it back.
Nice. Uh-huh.
Monica, what do you know? Or, God, we got to change the name of the show.
We'll just change it to What Do You Know?
What Do You Know?
Welcome to What Do You Know?
What Do You Know?
Monica, do you have a vague idea about the Flashdance soundtrack?
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean, because it's like, who doesn't love like
she's
the, you know,
all her life to answer this.
She's a maniac, maniac on the dance floor.
She's doing the dance moves, you guys.
Yeah, that's extra points.
Yeah.
And she dances like, I mean, it was, come on, like Flashdance, what's not to love about like a stripper on Hard Times? And there's
she was a burlesque dancer.
Bitch, she's a stripper. Like they only made her a burlesque dancer because they couldn't, I don't know. Maybe
they couldn't show anything.
They couldn't show titties. I don't know.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show and how the club she dances in is not a strip club, but there is a strip club shown later in the film where women are actually topless. Yeah, so there was this weird like...
Yeah,
what's going on?
You think? Oh, the only reason it's not a strip club is because they wanted the PG rating. Right. But no, they go ahead and show it all later.
The eighties were wild.
Yeah,
and I just think that I don't know. It might have been like the best selling soundtrack of like 1980, whatever year, 83, 84, whatever year that Flashdance came out, because it had so many like peak 80s like artists.
Oh, man.
Oh my God.
What a feeling was like what my a feeling. Jam when I was a baby. Well, I wasn't a baby. I was a kid. But
who it's a chick from Fame, right, who sang that song?
Irene Cara?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She sang What a Feeling, right?
Ooh.
Misbelieving I can have
I don't think so. I feel like it was somebody else.
Through my life. Sorry. I do.
I like it. I like it.
I love
it.
The 80s. I love 80s. Yeah. I love 80s pop music. So that's what I know about the 80s, that it was the top selling soundtrack for the year.
I love that she was a steel mill worker. Mm-hmm. However, she was so feminine that she stripped down to her little undies and splashed the water all over herself.
But she's in undies and like a sweatshirt.
Well, yeah, true. And then when she wants to be a dancer, like that is her passion, so she makes it happen. And she goes,
those are lyrics
at first. Yes, thank you. At first she biffs it, and then she dances like she's never danced before, and it totally makes them want her
because she goes and she leaves her job to like do the interview.
She has to choose
the
job or the dream.
The dream. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't we all have to choose that sometimes?
Every day.
Yes.
Job or the dream.
Yeah.
We almost always choose the job because America sucks.
Yeah.
Right? As we're seeing with coronavirus.
Yeah.
Don't go to work. But I can't eat. Sorry.
Yeah, you're going to have to die.
Your kids can't eat either.
Everybody's going to have to
die. Don't close the schools.
Everybody's going to have to die. It's like Captain Trips on The Stand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which Stephen King insists that this is not like Captain Trips, which is the disease in The Stand. but I think it is.
It's pretty close. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite was that somebody tried to mansplain him on Twitter, and they were like, that. Have you ever read that book?
It's Stephen King.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read it.
Yeah. I wrote it.
I may have conceived that idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was like, stop comparing this to Corona. They're nothing alike. Have you ever read the book, man? Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, I was on a lot of cocaine, but I definitely wrote the book. I have a lot of documentation to prove that I did.
I have a several million copies sold.
Yeah. There are 72 5.5-inch floppy disks that contain the original draft of this book. It is mine.
That would be hilarious if that was true. Oh, chapters 1 through 5. There's chapters.
I can only imagine, right? He was already a pretty prominent author, and
yeah,
you know,
and
who's not gonna have like an older computer and be like, oh, cool, I'm word processing. How exciting!
In the future,
yes.
So full disclosure, that is the only Stephen King book I've read from cover to cover. Everything else, I get bored and I just kind
of because they all kind of lose track of where they are in the middle.
Okay,
I think Needful Things is like the only Stephen King book I've read from like beginning to from cover to cover, only because it had like some weird sex stuff in it.
Yeah.
What?
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Well, because it was about how people like lost their inhibitions, and so like they were doing like some freaky sex shit in that book.
Yeah.
Freakier than it.
Which also happens. Yeah, I mean, it happens in it. It happens in The Shining has some freaky sex stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you consider like a naked lady in a tub and trying to bone a ghost. Yeah. I think that's creepy. Yeah. But there was that, what was the one where the aliens land and everybody gets uninhibited from the aliens
land? Oh, is that Needful Things? No,
that wasn't Needful Things. Needful Things. But
yeah.
I don't know.
This one's like where the aliens land and they made a miniseries in the 90s when they made all this Stephen King miniseries had like Susan Day in it, and it was whatever.
Oh, that's a name I haven't heard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. L.A. Law.
L.A. Law.
I actually have decided to stay away from all things Stephen King.
Yeah.
Every time I see something that's Stephen King, I'm like, I didn't like that. Yeah. I thought I would like that, and I didn't like it, so I'm just going to stop.
They're never well adapted,
no.
And the few books that are kind of good, I mean, Kubrick's Shining is probably the best version of any Stephen King story.
Although Stephen King hated it. He preferred the television miniseries.
What's his face from Wings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I only just saw the Kubrick's Shining back in November. So,
I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
It was the first time all the way through because I've seen
I mean, if you want some freaky sex stuff, there is a bear going down on a butler that you need to see.
That's not in the book, though, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
I think that was a Kubrick edition.
Yeah, that's totally a Kubrick edition.
Wait, the bear is going down on a butler. How does it not bite off his penis?
It's a furry.
Yeah, it's a dude in a bear costume.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an actual bear. That would have been difficult.
CGI.
Yeah.
Did they have that in the 70s?
Stop motion.
Yeah. Yeah, when is somebody going to throw some digital effects into The Shining? Because that's really what it needs.
Do they need it, though? Because last part with Jack Nicholson all frozen, that's my favorite.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
It's so good. Yeah, it's a movie that my wife and I watch every year.
Family tradition.
It's so sweet. It's so romantic.
It is, right? Nothing says romance like if we're ever trapped in a place together, you might have to worry about me trying to kill you. The movie.
Take away the axes, honey.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to bring us back to Flashdance.
Yes.
Lynn, did you have anything else you wanted to add before that tangent?
Just that she followed her dream and she achieved it.
All right.
Yes.
Irene Cara did sing.
Irene Cara did sing it. And it actually won the Oscar that year for best original song.
It was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Believe
it was
it or
a good
not,
one. It was.
It did. It was the bestseller. It knocked Thriller off the charts.
So it was 83.
Speaking of Michael Jackson's Jerry Curl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Knocking it right off.
Sexy.
Yeah. Flashdance, What a Feeling. He's a Dream. Lady.
I don't remember that one.
Maniac. There were some other songs that weren't on the soundtrack that were in the movie, including I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And Gloria.
I love that song. That's the one. Which was the Laura blues Branigan song
yes.
last
Laura
year.
Laura Branigan calling Gloria. Yep. And she also sang that song about the weird thing.
You
the
take
creature
myself, you take my self-control. Yeah.
Yes. That was a creep. Speaking of like creepy sex videos for the 80s, watch the self-control video about with Laura Branigan. Because it's like literally about this girl who goes to a sex club and like has like weird freaky sex with like people. And watch it.
I like how easily you're segueing back. You're just like, speaking about creepy sex stuff. Yeah.
Let me tell you more.
We're not talking about that.
No, sorry.
No, we can. We're talking about Gloria. Yeah, we can be.
Such a good song.
Yeah.
Gloria.
I have it unironically in my Spotify playlist. Mm-hmm. And so I helped the Blues win last year the Stanley Cup, so they can thank me.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing about the Flashdance soundtrack was that all of the songs were in the movie as videos, and they just cut the video and gave it to MTV. So MTV made videos out of all the songs on the soundtrack from the movie.
I
did not know that.
Yeah. Monica, for dancing it out, I think I'm going to give you 4.
Yes.
And ooh. Lynn, you joined in on some sing-alongs, which you know I enjoy, so you get a 2.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Nice.
And it's your turn.
Okay.
Do you have a vague idea about Do the Bartman?
Oh my gosh, I do actually. So, I was 13 when The Simpsons started. And
wait,
I remember,
on Tracy Ullman or like actual The Simpsons?
Oh, well, this actual Simpsons. But I do remember The Simpsons on Tracy Ullman because like parents legit wouldn't let their kids watch the show.
It was so edgy.
It was so edgy.
Which is crazy because it's like as dull as anything could be now.
Right. But, you know, back then, Bart would say, eat my shorts. And apparently that was like not good.
Yeah.
People
like, I paid good money for those shorts. How dare you suggest that I eat them?
My God. The
they were near your
so
bottom.
Oh, that's why you should eat them.
Yeah.
So the Bartman was a video that somebody decided to do a really, really shitty song. And it went something like, do the Bartman. Do the Bartman.
Bartman.
Yes. And I don't know if it came before or after the awful video game. I feel like it came before.
Yeah, I think it was before.
Okay, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bartman video game was not great.
Oh, it was terrible.
There was like Bart versus the Space Aliens, which was okay, but there was another video game that was
where he was supposed
terrible.
To be kind of like Batman but on a skateboard. It was bad.
No. So, yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, and it was actually, if I recall, a pretty big hit all things considered, cuz you know, everything Simpsons was huge in what was it? 88, 89?
Yeah, I mean, in an 88, 89, like, there are only 9 things that you can do at any one time. So anything can become big if it's pushed hard.
That's true.
Whereas now, like, there's an infinite number of things
you
that
you
can listen
to.
Tons of people are writing Do the Bartmans right now that one is going to listen to.
Right.
And they're like, I'm so proud of myself.
Right. Yeah.
I can't believe people don't love this.
Yes.
I did such a good job. Yes. The other thing I'll add is that it had the voices of the actual Simpsons actors.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Monica? Monica, do you have a vague idea about Do the Bartman?
There was an actual dance
that
went with the Bartman.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's why you had to do the Bartman. And so
everybody
do the Bartman. Yes.
Shake your hips from side to side.
Yes.
Bartman.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of like the Humpty Dance, but less cool.
So much less cool.
So yeah, there was
first. Wait, I'm looking that up.
Yeah, you should look that up.
I think
the Humpty Dance
was right around the same time.
Yeah,
because it was like I was in middle school.
Yeah, so I remember that it also became like a really big thing to like do the Bartman at like sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like a thing. Like people would like play Do the Bartman, and you know it was all over, like, you know, it was on MTV, obviously. It was a video that was on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dance. And it was like people would actually do it in public. Like,
so I will add one more thing. And it's that on Saturday Night Live, there's a a digital short from when Andy Samberg was on it. And it's the song Boombox, which that's probably my favorite of all the digital shorts, which is ridiculous. But I think it's because it has Julian Casablancas on it. Anyway, so, oops, song. There's this part where it's like everybody was out of control. The music was so entrancing. And then at the very end of that particular stanza, I guess, he says, and everyone was doing the Bart Man. It just makes me laugh. Because Fred Armisen is doing the Bart Man. It's so great.
Yes. That's what I know about the Bart Man.
Yeah, same.
All right. Yeah. You both definitely know your Bart Man.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's a song from 1990. Oh, mm-hmm. After the Humpty Dance, which was 89.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And after Bat Dance.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, and after the Bat Dance.
Which also similarly based on a superhero.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was actually never released as a single. It was part of an album called Simpsons Sing the Blues, which I owned.
Really?
Wow.
I was cool.
Yeah.
I remember the rest of the album was terrible. But yeah, you basically got everything. It was really popular worldwide and hit number one on charts all over the world. Mm-hmm. There was a video. Mm-hmm. The one thing you missed, which I swear I didn't do this on purpose, but I guess you can't talk about 80s pop music without bringing him up. It was produced by Michael Jackson. Yeah. Oh.
That's wow. Amazing.
I did not know that.
Well, he did the song, the one with Lisa's birthday.
Yeah, Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. He sang it actually in the episode.
He did.
Oh yeah, he was the guest voice of Leon Kompowski before the before Leon impressive. Broke out of his not dissociative fugue. Yes. Yeah, he didn't want to be credited. Uncredited. It was crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Michael.
It's wild stuff.
All right. I think I'm going to give...
Weird, wild stuff.
Lynn, I'm going to give you 3 for that. And Monica, I'm going to give you 2.
Sweet. Nice. All right, what's next?
And now it's back to Nate.
It's back to me. It's Monica's turn?
I think it is Monica's turn.
Great, Monica.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi.
How have you been?
I've been good.
It's been a little while since Okay. Do you have a vague idea about the band called Survivor?
Oh, is that the Eye of the Tiger people?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's the Eye of the Tiger. It's the thrill of the fight.
Rising up to the challenge of our rivals.
Is the last known survivor,
starts his prey in the night,
and he's watching his all with the eye of the tiger. That was the theme song for Rocky. I don't know if it's 1 or 2, but it was a Rocky theme song, one of them. And yes, it was like when he was in there like punching meat.
Wait, when he was beating his meat? Is that what you're saying, Monica?
Sorry, Patty and David.
No, it was worse because he was beating someone else's meat. He didn't own the meat.
Is that worse?
It was, yes.
I mean, it's Hollywood, right? Yeah. So it's just kind of part of how you get into a movie.
Like, it was like somebody else's meat, and it was like, you know, it was like his, I think it was probably Rocky too then, because it was like he was trying to come back, and he was just, you know, because he'd been defeated, and he's coming back, and, you know, it's the, you know, so that's all.
Whooped his ass.
Apollo Creed whooped his ass. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
He got whooped.
The best Rocky is Rocky. Is it Rocky 3 that has the Russian? Which
Rocky 4 has Dolph Lundgren, the Russian. Yes. Yeah.
And he's not even Russian. And he has a PhD in astrophysics?
Something
I think
crazy.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dolph Lundgren has a PhD. Yeah. He was discovered by Brigitte Nielsen.
Who dated, what's his face?
Was dating Sylvester Stallone,
who
yeah.
Who was dating Sylvester Stallone, and, like, he actually does have he has a PhD in, like, biochemistry. Like,
I think it's astrophysics. I'm pretty
he's
certain.
He's pretty, but either way, he's,
are you
like
gonna
super,
check and see?
I'll look for you.
He's, like, crazy smart, and he didn't even want to be an actor, but then she threw him, Brigitte Nielsen, like, threw him into the, not the
Ring?
Not the Conan movie. No. That movie where he wasn't, maybe it was Conan. He was a bad guy in Conan the Barbarian with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Don't think I've seen it.
He might have been. No, yeah. I'm trying to.
Yeah, she threw him into that movie before Rocky 4.
I just want to play with my telescopes. I don't want to act.
Yeah. So, well, so she originally hired him as a bodyguard when they were, yeah. So, crazy. Anyway.
So, Dolph Lundgren has a degree in chemical engineering from the Royal Institute of Technology.
Yes.
And a master's degree in chemical engineering from the University of Sydney.
Yes.
Wow. He's well, so University of Sydney is such a party school.
Oh, I know.
That's where all the people go to party.
I knew it was some sort of like physical science. Yeah.
He also has a third Dan black belt in Kyokushin karate. And while in Sydney, Australia, he became a bodyguard for Grace Jones.
Oh, even better.
Began a relationship with her. So that's,
I remember them together.
Nice callback. I love her in that. Brigitte Nielsen, by the way, just had a baby at like age 52.
Yeah, that was a whole thing.
That is my nightmare. Like, seriously, that is my nightmare.
I'm so tired and I just had you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I got 18 more years of this at least.
I will be
Give it to my 30-year-old child. Here, take
That's care. Right.
Yeah. Here, yeah, take care of your brother.
Oh, man.
It's like an opposite SVU episode where it's just like, no, you're going to pretend that she's your baby. Yeah. We're not going the other direction. Exactly. You're doing fine.
Exactly.
The song Eye of the Tiger actually didn't appear until Rocky 3.
Oh, it was one
with
of
Mr. T.
Oh,
as the antagonist.
Because he was coming back because he had lost his fortune because Adrian's brother like mismanaged his money.
Yeah.
Have you seen them all?
He had a robot. It's a real problem.
Yes.
He had that elaborate robot, and it was a big deal. Mm-hmm.
I have never seen, well, I think I probably saw them when I was a kid, but I've never seen any of the Rocky movies. But I did, when I lived in New York at one point, audition to be on a reality show where they set you up on a blind date and recreated a rom-com moment, and they wanted me to be Adrian and go ice skating with some guy that would have been Rocky.
Oh my God.
I didn't get it.
What TV show was that? Was that an MTV one?
I don't know. I've looked around it. I don't think it ever got made.
That is so, like, that's just such a bad choice anyway. Like, why are you picking the scene in Rocky where they awkwardly ice skate together? Like, that's not romantic. It's supposed to be demonstrative of the fact that neither of them belong in the world they're in, and that they're bonding over the fact that they're both fucking awkward. That's not great. What the fuck is that?
Maybe that's why it never aired.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure that's the only song Survivor ever.
No, they had another one. And it's not Heat of the Moment because that was Asia.
They had a song called Burning Heart.
Yes,
that got to number
burning
two.
Burning Heart. Something, something, something. It's a place for answers. Oh, you would know it. I promise you. I do know that song.
And what's weird
is... darkest night, rising like a...
I don't know if she's got her arms out. Like she's
this is becoming very real, people.
Yeah, I know that song.
But yeah, it's crazy. So Eye of the Tiger was only number one for 6 weeks. And you would think like a song like that sort of is so anthemic culturally that it would have been a bigger deal, but it was just no. Because to go back to the other thing, there were only 6 songs to listen to, and you got bored of that after 6 weeks,
so
and it was over.
Gloria, you had What a Feeling.
Flash Dance.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest: the '80s and pop music was a glorious time for pop music, and
absolutely.
So there are so many good songs coming out. You couldn't keep a song at number one.
It just kept going and going. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah, mm-hmm. The business of music was lush and ready to roll. Let's see. I'm going to give Monica 2 points, and I'm going to give Lynn 2 points.
Ooh.
We're just going to go 2 points across the board, okay?
I like it.
All right. So, Lynn.
Yes.
From the makers of Pomme aux Pommes de Terre, it's time for La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. The only thing that's French about this is the name. And the question that I pose to both of you this week is this what it sounds like when doves cry?
I know what it sounds like.
Do you? What is it? Okay, yeah.
You're welcome.
That was very coup of you to do.
Nice. Monica's unimpressed.
Yeah, Monica, what is this what it sounds like when doves cry?
No, it goes.
That's
what it sounds like when doves cry.
Very good. Very good. You each get 10 points.
Nate, what do you think it sounds like when doves cry?
You know, I honestly was sort of leaning into like, oh, hey, yeah, the sort of socio-global situation is probably what it would sound like with doves crying right now.
Absolutely.
Everybody's a little afraid. Everybody's a little concerned that, like, what does tomorrow mean? What does today mean?
Doves crying is the sound of somebody coughing on an airplane.
Yeah. Oh. Boom.
So I just flew in from New Orleans last night, and there was a woman two rows ahead of me who kept going, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, did you see there was a story today in the news that was like there was a flight that was diverted here because people just, like, began to attack the person who was coughing a lot or sneezing a lot, and they were like, no, get off. It's like, whoa.
Keep that to yourself. Hold it in.
Do birds have tear ducts, though?
I don't think so, but they do not poop and pee separately.
Yeah, it's cloaca. Cloaca. Yeah. Yeah. So they probably cry out of their butt, too.
I can see that.
Yeah. That's why Prince wore those ass cheekless pants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. you gotta cry out your butt mm-hmm. if you're a dove. Yeah.
Hot tears of diarrhea.
Well, that's not. Aw.
Speaking of weird sex
Sorry,
stuff.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Speaking of weird sex stuff.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, Monica.
Yes.
There was a movie that was about pop music in the 90s called Spice World.
Yes.
Every boy and every girl,
spice up your life. People of the world.
Oh, I did it backwards. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Can you name, besides the Spice Girls, two other people that were in the movie Spice World?
I believe Alan Cumming was in Spice World.
Correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
Because I love him.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my God. I love him. He is like, he's so great. I don't. Yeah. I don't know anybody else besides Alan Cumming. He was in Spice World as their manager. But like, because it's like, you know, it was all the Spice Girls and Alan Cumming.
That's all you saw.
That's literally all I saw. All
right. You'll get 1 point for that. Lynn, can you name two people other than the Spice Girls and Alan Cumming that were in Spice World?
I feel like everybody was in that movie, but I can't think of anyone who was in it. Was Jane Judy Dench in there? I feel like she was in everything.
She was not. Yeah. She should have been.
Oh, my God. She should have.
I know. She would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Was Ringo Starr in it?
Nope.
No. Mm.
Also should have been in it.
But another good guess. Yeah.
Was George Carlin?
Nope.
He was on Thomas the Tank Engine, though. That was awesome.
He was one of the Shining Time Station conductors, right? Because it was him and George Carlin.
And Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, he was the American version. Well, so was George Carlin, but yeah. I just had a very lengthy conversation about this over the weekend. I don't know why.
You know exactly why you did it.
Because I love Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had the song stuck in my head, which is very strange.
What's the Thomas the Tank Engine song? Completely unfamiliar to me. Completely.
No, it's great, though, because I don't think PBS can sue anybody.
Yeah.
So we're fine.
We don't have any money.
Do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's do a 10-minute medley of just PBS children's songs.
I, you know,
oh, I can sing
Thomas the Tank Engine. My nephew's not old enough.
He's too young
for that.
No, he would have been a little...
No, he's only 7. Like, Thomas the Tank Engine was, like...
It was
for babies. It was, like, a few years before, like... He's, like, Paw Patrol, and, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It was huge when my kids were little.
Yeah.
I gotta say, though, I think it's great to have some level of Paw Patrol, but the way that Trump has mobilized Paw Patrol to just get into all these sanctuary cities is very disturbing.
We really need some Doc McStuffins.
Yeah, Doc McStuffins. Mm-hmm.
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, just send him. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to take one more guess?
Honestly, I can't think of anybody who is in that besides all the spices.
I can't give you any points then.
That's all right.
Oh.
Who else was in there?
Nate, do you want to take a guess before I name off some names?
I mean, was Helen Mirren on it?
Nope.
No? Okay. Nope. I thought maybe Helen Mirren would pop up. We already said Alan Cumming. Let's see. Seth Green in that shit in that movie?
No. All right, I'm going to read some off. Elvis Costello.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Bob Geldof, Richard E. Grant, Bob Hoskins. Yes.
I do also love both of those.
Meatloaf was their bus driver.
Mm.
Roger Moore was...
oh, that's right, yeah.
Like, creepy guy on the phone.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Saunders from Ab Fab. And Elton John made an appearance as well.
Wow. Well, he was also in The Country Bears, so he will take anything. The Country Bears is a really great movie.
That's before that dude got paralyzed, right?
The Country Bears? Yeah. It was the last movie he did. Daryl Chill Mitchell.
Oh, Chill Mitchell. Yeah, something like that.
Oh. Yeah. That's too bad about that.
It really is. But he continued his acting career, and he was in some show.
He was on Ed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a good show.
The mom from Modern Family and and that guy that doesn't have any jobs anymore.
No, he doesn't.
Ed. Yeah.
Ed.
Great.
That guy.
Yeah.
All right, so the final total, Monica, you got one. Lynn, you didn't get anything.
I know.
Stumped you with Spice World.
I know. I just remember the bus flying over the Thames. I don't remember a whole lot about the movie.
You don't remember Meatloaf saying, "I won't do that"?
No.
When he was driving the bus? Yeah. That was a good moment. That was a good moment. All right. Lynn, you get to go first this time. Do you have a vague idea about Casey Kasem?
Oh, my gosh. Actually, I do. So Casey Kasem was the voice of Shaggy in Scooby-Doo, and he was a vegetarian, which they wrote in for Shaggy's character. So anytime you see Shaggy eating any kind of food, it is not meat-based, which is kind of amazing. He was Lebanese, or was he...
Armenian?
He was. And then
he's not anything right now.
No.
Well, I mean...
He's dusty.
Yeah.
He was born in Detroit.
He was born in Detroit. He's Detroitian.
The Lebanon of America.
And I used to love his show. Like, back in the day when, this is how old I am, when you wanted to have a song put on a cassette tape, you had to wait until your song came on, often during Casey Kasem's Top 40. And you tried to not get the commercial. So you would wait and wait and wait and then press record. Let's see, what else do I know? Oh, I know when he died, there was like this whole family feud because his wife, who was on Cheers, she kind of stole...
Tall blonde girl.
Yeah, very tall blonde girl. She stole his body from the rest of the family and wouldn't release it for, I want to say, 12 days. But
there was a lot of weirdness when he died.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Or it was before he died even.
Right.
Yeah, she like for years, like she... His family was saying like she was keeping him hostage in their house.
Jean Thompson Kasem.
Is that her name? Yeah. Okay.
So like what happened with Anna Nicole Smith too?
Pretty much, the
100-year-old billionaire that she married at age 30.
89.
Still.
Yeah.
Dusty. Back then 89 was 100.
89
was now 89 is the new 79. But then
there you go. But back then he was just old as fuck.
Yeah. Then it was like, wow, you shouldn't really. We should just fill you with foam.
Oh god. So they finally were able to come to kind of an agreement enough to at least have him buried, I'm pretty certain. But yeah, it was very sad. I remember watching it wrapped because I was like, how do you keep somebody's body away for, I mean, it was a number of days. And I would think it would be a little stinky, but I don't know. So do I know anything else about Casey Kasem? He had the best voice in the business.
He really did. Yeah. And you were right. I just looked to you. His parents were Lebanese.
Okay. Yeah, Lebanese.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Wow.
Do not ask me why I know so much about Casey Kasem. I just do. And I have exhausted all of my knowledge.
All right.
All right.
Monica, can you add anything to that?
I mean, I'm a little concerned. But
I know,
cool.
Right?
It's cool.
Casey Kasem also hosted an American radio music program for like 40 years. I mean, he posted it for a really long time. And he would do dedications and he'd be
Oh my God.
And then he would you would write him a letter and he'd read the letter on the air and he'd be like having these like Casey Kasem dedications and he's all like, and Lynn, this one's for you.
And Dear Casey, I met somebody at the grocery store 10 days
yeah.
ago.
And it was like, that was like a thing. He would like, and he'd be like, and he'd make you cry because these letters would be like so, they'd be like so emotional. So and beautiful. he'd read them in his like in his voice. And so, yeah. And his, and where I was anyway, his radio program came on in the evenings.
Oh, did it? Like, yeah. Ours was Saturday morning.
Yeah. And so,
or Sunday morning, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so, and then when he retired, his TV, his radio program got taken over by Ryan Seacrest.
Mm-hmm. Did it really?
Well, did he retire or did he die?
No, he retired.
Oh, before he died. Okay.
Yeah, because the last few years of his life, he was like battling, I think, dementia. And he, that's why
right.
his wife was fighting with his kids and everything like that. Right. And okay. so... yeah,
yeah
so,
2003, he mm-hmm. announced he'd leave American Top 40.
American Top 40.
Mm-hmm. So wait, did Ryan Seacrest just take over for all of the DJs? Because he also
yeah,
did
I mean,
Dick
I feel
Clark's
like Ryan Seacrest, this is my
He's
conspiracy. He killed everybody. He killed Dick Clark. He killed Casey Kasem. He took over their programs. Yeah. And he built his media empire on the bones of old white men.
Oh my God! There I mean, not go. Wrong.
You know, yeah. Seacrest out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he deliberately killed American Idol on Fox so he can move it to ABC, where he had
where
that deal.
Sucks.
That deal.
Mm-hmm. Get that
Lionel
Disney
Rich
money.
Get that Disney money.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney
mm-hmm.
money's got to be better than Rupert Murdoch money.
Oh yeah. Well, they're just gonna hand it to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Disney's like whatever. We're losing money hand you know left and right, yes. but we'll take more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just give us everything mm-hmm. you got.
So that's what I know about Casey Kasem.
Yeah,
American Top 40.
That was good.
Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't really do it. I was gonna try to do the dedication yeah. thing, but I don't think I can do it. It used to be one of the things that I practiced when I was a kid was his
yeah.
act, his mm-hmm. the way he talked because I thought
so
it was so
did
interesting.
Did you have the same voice as a kid?
I mean, I probably for a long time.
I just
time.
Imagine a little kid a like this,
Nate,
a
yeah.
tiny Nate, just be like.
This is Jerry from Pasadena. He's He ran into Julie at the grocery store, and he just wants her to know that he's thinking about her. This is some song by somebody.
This is, what was it, In the Burning Heart by Survivor.
Yeah. Terrible.
That's
yeah.
pretty good. That's
yeah.
pretty good.
That's pretty good.
All right. Y'all know a lot about Casey Kasem. Lynn, I'm going to give you 5, and Monica, I'm going to give you 4.
Ooh. Nice.
And also, your voice just reminded me that Casey Kasem was also on Saved by the Bell when they did the Zach Attack
was.
Episode.
Yes, he
was. He's talking
yes.
about them.
He
yes.
shows up at the Max, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Of all the places. Just going to show up in my little high school diner that somehow
yeah.
is only... Mm-hmm. Only frequented by high school students. Like, whose business model is that? Well, I'm a magician who can make hamburgers, and also I only want to serve high school students.
I mean, it's what made the Peach Pit. So.
Oh, that's true. That's yeah. the model of the Peach Pit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And Happy Days, Al-Stein.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
There's a long history of people opening diners just
yes.
for teenagers.
Yes. Well, then let's open one.
Let's do it.
I'm serious, Shannon. Let's open a diner for teenagers.
Okay.
Think of all the lives we could change.
I will be a silent investor in that.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. I'm into this.
As long as I don't have to invest any of my own money.
There
yeah.
you go. Yeah.
No. Lynn's silently investing
yeah.
her money. We're good.
So what would you call it?
Oh, geez. What would we call it? What would you call a diner for teens?
Okay, we got Max's, mm-hmm. Peach Pit. What was the one from?
Al's.
Well, I think naming them after Nate's, I think.
Just name it after me?
Nate's yeah. Pit.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, don't worry. We've just waxed the floors at
yeah.
Nate's Pit, so
it's cool.
It's good. Everything's safe and sanitary.
Now everybody do this dance that'll make
yeah.
you fall.
Now everybody do the Nate Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord. Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh, you did 2 already?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey, this is my last one, and we're back to, are we back to
yep,
Monica?
Back
yeah.
to Monica.
Monica.
Hi.
We're going to play a game.
Oh.
Called, Well, it's not really called anything. Here's the thing. You're familiar with...
I've never comfortable like, here's the thing.
Yeah. let's just lay it all out.
Okay.
All right. We've known each other a long time. It's time that we just hash this shit out, okay?
Okay,
so you're familiar with the song We Are the World.
Yes.
As sung by USA for Africa.
Yes.
I have four people that I'm going to list, and we're going to go back and forth between the two of you, okay? I need you to tell me whether or not this person was in the supergroup.
Okay, USA for Africa.
Okay. On the We Are the World. So, number one.
I've been preparing for this all of my life.
Yes.
Was Cyndi Lauper in USA for Africa on We Are the World? You are correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, Lynn.
Yes.
Was Bono.
Yes.
He was not.
Oh, he was in USA for Africa. Not USA for Africa. He was in...
Do They Know It's Christmas Time?
Yes. Yeah. That song is so racist.
Yeah. He was in Band-Aid, which is worse.
That's it. Yeah.
Because it's so, like, terrible. Right. Okay. Monica, we're back to you. Dionne Warwick.
Ooh, I want to say yes, because she was friends with Michael Jackson, with Lionel Richie, and I want to say yes.
She was. Yes. Yeah, she was. Very good, very good. Okay, and Lynn.
Don't biff it, Lynn.
Was Dan Aykroyd in USA for Africa?
I think he was, actually.
He was, yes. Yeah. Dan Aykroyd was in there.
Why was he in there?
Because he just is singing off key in the background.
No,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's a Blues Brothers thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense. So my dream is to have a party where everybody dresses up as one person from USA for Africa, and then we all come together and sing the song.
I think that sounds like a really good theme party.
I would come to that party.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Yes.
Everybody puts their keys in a bowl at the beginning. Yeah. And then you just sing USA for Africa at the end. You're good.
And then you go home with whoever's key you got.
So, yeah. Yeah. Whatever you grab.
I don't want to go anymore.
No. You don't have to. It's all consensual.
Yeah. Look, we are the world.
We are the world. Oh, my
God. And we are the children, which probably isn't good for the key party metaphor. Yeah, so never mind.
I would hope that you would practice safe sex.
It was the 80s. You didn't have to until the AIDS scare.
Yeah, great work. So, yeah, 2 points for Monica, 1 point for Lynn.
I can't believe I biffed it.
It's okay.
I got super excited.
You were waiting for this your whole life, and you bit it.
I know.
When I looked at the questions earlier, I did the same thing, though. Okay.
Bono was
like, of course Bono was in it.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Bono was the trick. Because it's like, he should be involved in all the cause-based supergroups with massive air quotes thrown around supergroups.
Anything with Bob Dylan in it is a supergroup.
Yeah. Even if it's a soup and it's just they put Bob Dylan in it.
Yes, it's a soup.
Because he's dead.
Because he's dead?
Yeah.
No, he's still alive.
No, he's alive now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But if you ditch him in the soup?
If you had to put him in soup, he would have to be dead, right? You can't really stew a man.
You could put the essence of Bob Dylan in the soup.
Oh,
no!
Jesus.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. I think Sorry, Mom and Dad's going to be the episode title.
Sorry, David and Patty.
Sorry, David and Patty.
Ew.
All right.
So
when I heard that you guys wanted to... challenge each other over pop music.
Oh, God.
80s and 90s pop music. This was the very first thing I thought of. It's very literal.
Okay.
Lynn, you're first.
Okay.
What do you know about Michael Jackson's Pepsi commercial?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
We used to sing a very, not very nice song about that, but he got paid a shit ton of money. Like a shit ton of money. And he was supposed to appear in this ad that was going to be like this fabulous concert-based thing. And speaking of his Jerry curl, it caught on fire.
I know.
Yeah.
We have talked a lot about Michael Jackson today.
And his Jerry curl.
He's the king of pop.
He is. And it caught his hair on fire. And so he had to wear a toupee for the rest of his life, or at least cover part of his hair. I guess it burned a bald spot in the back. And that was at the same time he was carrying Bubbles the Chimp around. And Alfonso Ribeiro was his little companion. And it was pre-Macaulay Culkin. I'm trying to think what else. The not so nice song that we used to sing at the very end, it said Pepsi Cola burnt him up, now he's drinking 7 Up.
Yes. Oh, I remember that.
Yes. But what? How did it start? I can't remember.
Don't sing how it starts. Don't sing how it starts. I just remembered.
Yeah. So I'll sing it to you off
here. I remember.
I could just make a.
Now he's drinking seven.
Yeah. I can just make a high pitched tone while you guys do it.
That is the sound of Michael Jackson screaming as his hair burns. Yes. But I remember that because I remember them like carrying him out on the stretcher after the the filming that really never went off, and so it was very sad.
So I think it was like the first take, and there were like pyrotechnics, and the pyrotechnics went off, and the spark from the pyrotechnics hit his Jerry Curl juice, and poof, his hair, like his lid, like his entire head, like burned up.
Yep.
And so, and then they, you know, they covered him up, and they, you know, they took him out on a stretcher because that was his one glove.
Because he was waving. That's right.
He had the one glove, and and that was also.
Bono was there.
Bono was there.
I mean, I think that U2 becomes popular right after that happens, so I would imagine Bono did it.
Yes, that's why.
He was like, oh, yeah, I'll just fire these pyrotechnics. I also would have, to the right.
I also would have gone with Bob Marley's one glove.
Oh, yeah.
One heart. Yes. Sorry, Monica.
I know. Poor
Michael Jackson.
And I think that was like part of the reason he said he started bleaching his skin is because he had the scars,
right?
And then he had vitiligo. So he's like, I had the vitiligo, and then I had the scars, and so I had to start bleaching my face because I was darker.
But what explains the nose? Like the nose jobs that had nothing to do with.
I mean, that was just him trying to be Diana Ross.
Oh, true, very true.
I mean, it started out like that, and then at one point, Diana Ross is all like,
"Yeah, and you've gone too far, buddy."
But yeah, the nose was him trying to be Diana Ross.
Yeah,
but that started the skin bleaching. Because
I will say,
he had,
after the fire incident, he did have a nose job, but it was his third, so it had nothing to do with the fire.
Okay, yeah, it had nothing to do with the fire, but you know,
he didn't claim that on his insurance. Yeah. Oh, it got my nose.
But yeah, so he did. Yeah, so he did start bleaching his skin after that because he said the discoloration from the scarring.
Yeah, y'all got it. He was filming Billie Jean. It was actually a full Jackson 5 performance. The pyrotechnics went off and his pomade caught on fire. Mm-hmm. And it started to his love of painkillers and plastic surgery.
He was only like 115 pounds when he died.
Ugh. Oh, my goodness.
So little.
It's crazy, yeah.
He was skinny. He was not little. Prince was little. He was also about 115 pounds. Oh, that's Monica's love.
Aww.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
One of the engineers behind the Pepsi Jackson endorsement deals wrote a memoir titled "Then We Set His Hair on Fire: Insights and Accidents from a Hall of Fame Career in Advertising."
Oh, that's so rude.
Wow. Yeah, you're just gonna steer right into that, huh? Yeah. Like, oh yeah, the time that I basically ruined a person's career in life.
My most famous moment is
he was fine. He got $5 million for the commercial, $1.5 million for the out-of-court settlement. Later he signed with Pepsi again for another $10 million.
Oh, yeah, because he did a whole Remember the Time Base commercial.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was good. All right,
Lynn, I'm going to give you 4. Monica, 5. Amazing. I'm not looking at the scores, so I don't know what that does. Oh, I'm sorry, I meant 4 and 3.
Oh,
so you went first.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh,
what do we got?
What do we got, Shannon?
What do we got? What's the final score?
Super close. I'm glad I didn't look at the scores before I gave out the last points.
Oh my God, I'm so excited, guys.
I know, me too.
It's crazy.
Yeah. The winner is Monica with 34.
Oh my gosh.
It's because I miss Bono. And damn you, Bono, for the iPhone release and for losing me this game.
It really was because you had 33.
No.
Or if you had been able to name anyone in Spice World.
I cannot believe I don't remember that.
I think Bono's the more convenient scapegoat at this point. So we should just go with him.
Bono.
Bono. It's like, oh, you're so worldly and Irish. It's great. You're a real hero.
That is amazing.
Always evenly matched.
Good game.
That was really good.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
I'm saying that for the microphone now, but like
I'm gonna beat her up in the street.
She's never gonna live this down.
Spell snuffleupagus.
Listen, fuck you.
I win.
So congratulations on your win.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I was like, what did I do?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, she forgot.
Monica, is there anything you would like to plug on the show this week? Is there something you want people to see or do? It can be anything. It doesn't have to be something you're doing.
You can just be like,
people should read this book. They should wash their hands. They should think about, you know.
Don't touch your face.
Yeah.
Don't buy all the toilet paper and soap.
I literally went into King Soopers today and the soap aisle was fine, but there was like no fucking toilet paper. I'm like,
what
I don't understand. I don't. You know, I texted this to Lynn this morning. She didn't respond.
Because I was asleep.
I don't know if you remember that controversy about whether or not people wash their legs.
Which is weird. Oh,
yeah. Because Taylor Swift was like, yeah, I wash my legs when I shave them. And everyone's like, that's not washing. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so I'm just going to leave you with a little tidbit of funniness. And so I was like, I texted Lynn this morning. I'm like, do you think white people will wash their legs if you tell them that? If that's how you get the coronavirus, it's by unwashed legs.
Okay.
So wash your legs, wash your hands.
Stop hogging
just
the toilet.
Wash your hands anyway, but just wash your legs because that's fucking disgusting. Just wash your legs.
How do you think germs get around if not on your legs? It's literally the thing that moves you place to place. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Wash your legs. Everybody, but especially, like, I think the majority of white people said that they didn't wash their legs.
I did not know this until that whole controversy came out. It was like, who doesn't wash their legs along with the rest of their body?
I always wash my legs in the shower. Like, it's just like that soap goes everywhere. That's the whole deal.
Yeah, and then you rinse.
No, it's not like the soap washes down your body. Like
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying
Nate's just standing in this shower with I
just hold a bar of soap over me, and whatever lands on me, I guess it's doing its job. That's how that's supposed to be.
Clean enough.
I mean...
Guys, wash your legs. Do that.
Wash your legs and your hands.
Yeah. Wash your legs and vote.
Wash your legs and vote.
For progress.
For progress. You know, yes. Bernie for president. Woo woo. Yep. And that's it.
Okay, great. Lynn, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
So I'm a huge proponent of washing hands.
Yeah, great.
Yes, I saw quite a few people leave a bathroom in New Orleans without washing their hands.
See that?
Grossed me out a little bit. Yeah. You know? But I feel like if you're going to not get sick somewhere because of the amount of germs, New Orleans is the place. And also Las Vegas. So there's that.
Well, it kind of does that Simpsons joke where Mr. Burns is only alive because all the germs are jammed in the door.
Yeah.
It's like, this is basically New Orleans and Las Vegas. Like, there's just a bunch of germs everywhere.
So one of my New Orleanian friends, she was talking about something on Facebook, and I was like, I love it when tourists wear open-toed shoes in the corridor. It is. Ugh. It's like my favorite thing because, I know. Mm. It's like, why would you do that? To which she answered, gutter gumbo. And I was like,
that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lynn's plugging gutter gumbo.
Gutter gumbo, wash your hands.
Then,
it's not just for you. Like, it's, you know. For everybody. Yeah, for, like, if you're young and you're healthy, that's fine. But, like, some of us have parents and family members who are not
immunocompromised.
Who are immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. So it's not for you. It's called herd immunity.
It would, however, I will say
it would be really good for the economy, though.
Yes.
Sorry, mom and dad.
Yes.
Those houses are gonna be cheap.
Yeah. Shan, you gotta make sure those wills are written out before you say shit like this.
And I will say too that I'm looking forward to very cheap travel. I got something from Southwest today. I can fly anywhere for like $50.
Yeah, so you're like, look, we have to put these planes in the air anyway because otherwise we get our license revoked or something.
Yeah, I heard that they're like burning jet fuel because they have too much of it. So they're just like running empty planes because they have too much jet fuel.
I'll get on that plane.
Yeah, which is all. I mean, look, our system is very confusingly screwed up. If anybody's like, hey, nobody wants to fly on this plane, but we have to fly it anyway because otherwise we'll have too much fuel for later.
Oh, darn.
Mm-hmm. That'll prove it.
Saudi Arabia just dropped the price of oil, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if, and now
it's a dollar a barrel.
If airlines started offering free baggage like they used to,
oh my gosh,
oh my god,
I would never be in Denver,
never,
yeah.
Never.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. Well, if the prices are that cheap, just buy a ticket for your bag.
Yes,
that's true.
Right?
Oh, this is my baby.
No, yeah. These sweaters are sitting next to me.
Nice. <Yes.
laughs> Shannon, do you want to plug anything this week?
Yeah, I'll plug this lovely establishment that houses us every week, Steno Denver.
Steno!
Co-working space on 17th and... Why do I always forget what street we're on?
Vine.
Yeah.
17th and Vine.
Yeah.
I love it here. I kind of wish I could work from home so I could get a place here.
You could do it. Come hang out.
You may be doing it sooner than you think.
That is true.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. If they say work from home,
yeah,
I'm going to come to Steno Denver.
You can.
.com.
You can get a real free
from
week.
From home and look at things and be like, I'm not leaving the house, but maybe one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's awesome here.
It's a great place. It really is. It's phenomenal. Thank you guys for both being back on the show.
Thank you
for letting us come back.
I hope that we can get you back for a third time, but not a final time. This isn't a trilogy. This is about like just continuing the saga.
This will be infinite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this never ends.
It'll go on and on like the song.
Something will have to end us
for
this to end. So, yeah, this was great. I'm really glad you guys could be on the show again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Listeners, if you like this program, tell some people about it. That would be helpful. Like 5, 10 people. You know 10 people. You might not like all 10 of them, but you know 10 people. And you can tell them, listen to this podcast. You can also follow us on our social media. We have Twitter. We have Facebook. We have Instagram. That's at a vague idea podcast, at a vague idea pod, at a vague idea group.
Facebook group thing?
Yeah, the a vague idea podcast online group thing on Facebook. It's really...
That's a great name.
Yeah,
great
no,
name
it's sharp.
Really
it's sharp branding. Yeah, not since Thompson & Sons... timeless life infusing balm liquid .org has Delicious. A name been so good. Yeah.
Monica's like, what is happening?
Yeah, no. Sorry again, mom and dad for this.
No, seriously, sorry.
The whole thing. Thanks again to Michael J. O'Connor for the theme song. Thank you.
Thank you. Check his
music out at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. And otherwise, I mean, gosh, you know, guys. May God have mercy on your souls. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.